Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able. Now, do you believe what the Bible says? Do you? Do you do? Hallelujah. Listen to what this says. Listen at the adjectives describing the ability of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in, help me, us. Oh, hallelujah. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Go forward a book into the book of Philippians and go to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The psalmist prayed, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. He also said in Psalm 1, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is what? In the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he what? He meditates how often? Day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Lord, take these scriptures and anoint them to our heart and give us liberty and anointing to break the bread of life in the ears of these that hear. Anoint us to hear. God, speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said amen. I'd like to preach to you this morning on the thought of focus. Focus. Now, I started out in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, because I want you to look at what God can do. But he does it in us and through us by the power that he's placed within us. Amen. Now, we look at this beautiful sanctuary. It's illuminated this morning by something we call light. This light is diffused, and it spreads the lumens all over the building so we can see. Amen. But did you know if this light that's here this morning were concentrated into a beam, concentrated through a crystal, it can become a laser. Lasers can be used for things as simple as playing your CD player. A concentrated beam of light. That's why you can play a CD 1,000 times and not damage the CD, because light is the concept. I don't know exactly how it works, but I know it's played on a light beam. A few years ago, they put a fiber optic past my house, and, you know, I'm an inquisitive kind of person, and I'd heard about fiber optics, and I wanted to go see this magnificent fiber optic thing that they had put out, Brother Jarvis. So I you know, they're putting a lot of money into putting this new system through, so I go over to the guys as they're digging not far from where I lived, and And I said, explain to me about this fiber optic cable. And so they had a piece of it up in the truck that's about a half inch diameter. And I thought, well, that's something. But he kept peeling back and peeling back and peeling back. And he had four little hair-like fibers. I mean, they were like, just like hair. And I said, is that all there is? He said, did you know, preacher, that each one of these fibers can carry over 20,000 simultaneous conversations at one time? I said, you're serious? Oh, that's not all. It can carry TV and the internet, and he went on down the list. He said, we know they can carry over 20,000 each fiber. I don't know what that did about to you, but that just kind of fascinates me. But it's all due to focused light pulses. The fiber optic operates on the basis of light and the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. When you can get something like that focused, it's in, well, they can make, we call them laser beams. They can make it a beneficial thing, or they can make a weapon out of it. This guy was at a place, and they had steel looked like it was slick as glass, been cut with a laser. It's amazing what things can happen if you get the energy that's available focused. We come together for a series of meetings, and Pastor got up and he kept saying, let's get our mind on this. He's talking about being focused unto him that's able to do, help me now, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to what? The power that worketh in us by Christ Jesus. Jesus made a statement, Pastor. He said, all power in heaven and in earth is what? Given to me. You understand that? All power. Well, if you can take the power of just concentrated light and cut steel with it, think about all. You can take wind that gets concentrated and becomes a tornado or a hurricane. Water that gets all concentrated together becomes a flood. Jesus said, all power. Do you reckon that he's still able to bring us revival, Brother Taylor? You reckon there's any revival left in the Holy Ghost? You reckon there's any ability left, Greg, in the power of God to make things change and be different? Hallelujah. Oh, brother and sister. Anybody troubled? Isaiah 26:3 said, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall... No, that's Philippians 4. 26:3 said, what does it say, Sister Suits? Perfect peace. What did he say about perfect peace? He will give thee perfect peace. What? Whose mind is what? The word stayed simply means focused. He will give him perfect peace whose mind is focused. On who? On him, because They trusteth. Oh, come on, church. Come on, saints. I think you're getting the picture of what I'm trying to say. Whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in thee. Can we trust God to be able to save to the uttermost? I don't know if the uttermost has ever been reached, Brother Jarvis. I don't think that we understand the extent of God's ability to save and to change and to transform. He's still on the throne. He has not changed, has not failed, not gone on vacation. He that keepeth it. You don't slumber, don't sleep. I'm telling you, God's still able to bring revival in 2013. He's still on the throne, still has the ability. If we can get our mind focused on the authority and power and the ability of the God we serve. Sunday school teacher got on my message this morning. Almost. John chapter 5. House of the place of Bethesda. Pool called Bethesda, John 5. There was at the, there in Jerusalem, a sheep market, there's a pool called Bethesda. Bethesda, the word was that at a certain season, an angel would come and trouble the water, and whoever stepped in second, your Bible reads first. Mine does too, really. Just want to know if you was paying attention or not. Whoever stepped in first got healed of whatever need they had. So our house of Bethesda, our Bethesda means a house of mercy. So that's what we could call First Pentecost of London, Bethesda. The house of mercy, where we go to get our needs met from God. Amen. I was interested in that because the word trouble there means agitated. I was thinking, you know, when I first read it, it just like a little wind would blow a little, make a little waves, little ripples in the water. You there with a need. The Bible said there's five porches, and in them lay a great multitude of impotent folk. Hey, some halt, some blind, some maimed. Everybody there had a need, just like us. Our needs differ. You say, well, I don't need anything. You got family lost. What a need. You got neighbors that's unsaved. Personal needs, financial needs, physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs, all kind of needs, but we've all got needs. Sometimes we've stopped raising our hand even in unspoken requests because we say, I don't know if it's worth it or not. But every time we take a prayer request and every time you give one, it's because we believe that God's able to make a difference. Amen. Maybe we are believing with our mind more than our heart, but I'm telling you, we serve unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask, think, according to the power that worketh in. Hallelujah. Notice at the pool, they were all watching the water. I wonder how many times a little breeze blew by and everybody piled in. Who got healed? Nobody. Must just been the wind. They crawled out unhealed, wet, waiting. They were all there waiting for the moving of the water. I wonder sometimes what are we waiting on because the water's done moved. Amen. But notice this scene. They're focusing on two things. The pool and their pain. Jesus healed the 38-year-old guy. And his response was, I have no man to help me. Nobody is going to help anybody because everybody's concentrating. They were focused on their problem. My problem's greater than anybody else's problem. My need is more than anybody. I feel sorry for you, but buddy, if it's between your need and my need comes first. Focusing on the pool. I mean, they fought for the front row. They stared at the pool. They waited. They watched. And Jesus entered into that situation. Now, here's a man that has all power. Still does. I said, still does. You believe that? Say amen. Still does. Do you really believe it? Do you really do? Do we, I, me, us, do we really believe that Jesus still has all power? I'm not trying to psych you up for anything this morning. I'm just trying to narrow our focus. Anybody, when you was growing up, you ever have a magnifying glass? You ever get the sun in the magnifying glass and burn a hole in a piece of paper? Set the grass on fire? Yeah. You know, some major fires have been started where somebody threw out a bottle, like a thick-bottom Coke bottle, and the sun's rays concentrated through that glass and formed a prism and focused that light beam at a certain place the sun's in the sky and started a fire. The sun shining without that magnifying glass to focus it. Sun just warms us. Say, well, sometimes it gets pretty hot, tans us. But it don't set us on fire. But if you focus those beams from the sun, you can start a fire. Their focus was on the pool and their pain and the Jesus who had all power walked through. And I could almost see it, Brother Jarvis, as he walked through this. I said, excuse me, sir, I don't want to run over you, but that water's troubled. You're in my way. Would you please move? And he's made his way through the porch. He said, please get out of my way, sir. Please move. Please move. And so he passed through the porches. They're focused on the pool. Their pain. When the answer passed right in front of them, when the one that could meet every need passed, finally on his way out, Brother Gilman said, wilt thou be made whole? And the guy says, I don't have no, he said, that's not the question. Do you want to be healed? Nobody ever, that's not the question. You see, he even had to reason with this guy to get his focus a turn. He said, if you want to be healed, just take up your bed and walk. And that man focused on the answer instead of on the problem. And he got up. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. He got up. When we can get our focus turned from the problem and focus to the answer, we can get up. I believe we can still get up this morning. I believe we can still get up today. I believe God's got the ability to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. Or the first thing we need to do is get the power within us. He said, examine yourself. Will you be in the faith? Know and prove. First thing we need to do in this revival meeting is to take a time of self-examination. Used to sing an old song, Is Thy Heart Right with God, washed in the crimson flow is it? You say, Brother Suit, you're preaching to the choir, we're all saved. Are we? Brother B.H. Clendenin used to preach the mission convention here several years. Pastored a fairly good-sized church in Beaumont, Texas. He said at this time he was running about 600 members. And he called an all-night prayer meeting. He was wanting to do those things. And out of 600 people, 75 showed up. And Brother B.H. Clendenin said, first I was hurt, then I was a little angry, then I prayed. And I said, God, why? There are only 75 people out of 600 show up. And he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. He said, these are those that are rapture ready. He said, out of 600 people that I preached to, only 75 were rapture ready. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, if we're going to have revival, we're going to have to get honest with ourselves. If we don't get honest with ourselves, we'll never be honest with God. We say, Pastor, that we want revival. We say we need revival. We say, I believe God can bring revival. Well, if that's all true on this starting service of revival, let's examine our heart. Let's search our heart. Maybe we got a little fear that we need to get rid of. I'm not saying you're unsaved. Please don't mistake that. I'm just saying we allow things in our heart that keep us from focusing on the things we have need of and focusing on the one that can meet those needs. Unto him that's able. Believe that? To do. Believe that? Exceeding. Abundantly. Above all. But we got to focus. Pastor said, get our minds set. He said, well, I haven't been walking in the counsel of ungodly. I haven't been standing in the way of sin, and I haven't been sitting in the seat of scornful. But have you been delighting in his law? Have you been meditating in this? The prophet said, while I was musing, meditating, the fire burned. Oh, church, I am hungry to see a Holy Ghost, sin-killing, devil-chasing, life transforming, spirit filling, sick folk healing, miracle working, revival again. It's kind of like the old couple riding along, and I'm closing with this. Riding along in a car, Sister Huff, and about that time a car passed them, all jacked up, and there was two people in that car, but they're sitting so close together, it looked like one body with two heads, young folks. The little lady turned over and looked at her husband. She said, Daddy. He said, yes, Mother. Said, you remember when we used to sit like that? He got a kind of a nostalgic grin on his face. He said, yeah, Mother, I remember. They rode down the road a few miles. She said, Daddy, why don't we sit that way anymore? And he thought real quick. He said, I haven't moved. Same God that brought Pentecostal revival in the past has not moved. He's same. Brother Jarvis said the sacrifice it took and the commitment it took and the soul searching it took to get revival back then, it takes it today. But if we'll get rid of the junk and the clutter out of our life so we can move up a little closer, he's the same. and what you have need of this morning. Get your focus off of your problem. Get your focus off of your pain. Get your focus off the pool. Get your focus on Him. Hallelujah. In His presence. In His presence. Hallelujah. 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 Stop focusing on all the negative. Norman Vincent Peale and Mary Baker Eddy, they both took truths. Norman made a million out of his power of positive thinking. Mary Baker Eddy formed Church of Christ Scientist on her mind over matter, and they took truths, and they took them past the balance and it became heresy. But the truth is still this. We get our mind on Christ and get our mind off the junk of the world, that we still have revival. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to convince you this because you already know it. But I'm just trying to remind you that we need to hear it is March. It's time to have a good spiritual spring cleaning. And I want to join you in a time of prayer. So I'll examine the clutter in my heart too, because I want to see God move at London. I want to see God move at First Pentecostal. I want to see God move in my life and yours as we focus. As we focus on Him. Sisters begins to play. I'd like to just make a general altar call. If you're here and you've never been saved or you're backslidden, you just come too. While the rest of us search our hearts, you pour your heart out too. And allow God to stir the flame of revival in our spirits as we focus on the Master.